This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Bring your conversation into agreement with God's Word instead of just talking out of how you feel and what you think all the time. And I can guarantee you that you will begin to see changes in your life. Matthew 12:34 says, "You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you're evil and wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." In other words, for it to come out of us, it's got to be in us. Floating around in there somewhere. So nothing reveals more about the real us than our words. You can learn so much about yourself by listening to yourself. Ooh. I learned things about myself I would just assume that I wouldn't have known. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. James 3:2. If anyone does not offend in speech, if he never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. My goodness, he's saying if we can control our mouth, we can control everything else in our life. Some of you are trying real hard to control what you put in your mouth. And you might be better off to start first trying to control what comes out of it. Uh-oh, well, I'll just go on. You're not liking that one. Maybe I'll talk to these people over here. See, I can show you a scripture that says it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. So I'll just give an example. Let's just say that, how many of you have a problem with sugar? You just eat way too much sugar. Okay. Well, let me give you a hint. Don't say 50 times a week, "I crave sugar. I just have to have sugar. I'm addicted to sugar. If I eat one cookie, I've got to eat the whole bag. If I eat one bite of ice cream, I've got to eat the whole quart." Don't say that kind of stuff. Because every time you do, you're just assuring yourself that you're going to keep the problem. What you should say, and I don't care if you have to start with the spoon on your way to your mouth. You start by saying, "I'm not addicted to sugar. I don't crave sweets. I have self-control. I have a disciplined appetite. Now see, if you didn't come for anything other than that, it's going to help you. You say, "Well, I'm just telling the truth." I'm not, yes, that may be a fact in your life, but the truth is greater than facts, and the truth is God's Word, and God's Word says that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So don't say, "I'm addicted to this, I'm addicted to that, I can't help this, I can't help that." And for goodness sakes, don't ever say, "I just don't have any discipline or self-control." I don't care if you're the laziest person on the planet. I want you to start saying, "I am a man or a woman of discipline and self-control. I can control myself." I started smoking cigarettes when I was 9 years old. And, 9 years old. And I hung around with kids in the neighborhood that were older than me, and they all smoked, so I smoked. And so I smoked up until I was about 35, something around there. And I always said, "Oh, I know I could never quit smoking. It would be so hard for me if I ever tried to quit smoking." Well, sure enough, then when I wanted to quit, it was hard for me, very hard for me. And one of the things that God led me to do, and here again, this may sound like I'm a lunatic, but I don't care. I'm trying to help you, so I don't care what you think. I remember driving home from work at night, with a cigarette between my fingers saying, I don't smoke, I can't stand to smoke, cigarettes stink, I don't spend my money on cigarettes. And I'm telling you the honest truth, it was not very many weeks after that and I quit. Now, I'm not telling you that this is just like a little magic charm and you can just say anything you want and get anything you want, but I am telling you that if you want to stop doing something, then you have to stop talking like you can never stop doing it. Amen? Are you sure you're getting this? You're just like, okay. How many of you say bad things about yourself? Ooh, I would like to come out there and shake you. Oh my gosh. One of the worst things that we can do is say negative, downgrading things about ourselves. Let me tell you something. The devil's already against you and you don't need to agree with him. What you need to do is get into agreement with God. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? What I'm trying to say to you today is bring your conversation into agreement with God's word instead of just talking out of how you feel and what you think all the time. And I can guarantee you that you will begin to see changes in your life. Now, it may not be overnight, but what happens, what you say runs right along here, gets in your ears, and drops right down into your spirit. And I'm going to show you a scripture in a minute that says we eat our words. You've said to people, you are going to eat those words. Well, the truth is you actually do eat your words. Your words affect you more than anybody else's words affect you. So let's just say that you're living with somebody that's really negative and downgrading and they're constantly putting you down. And sometimes people will say to me, well, how in the world can I keep a good attitude? How can I not get depressed if I'm living with somebody that puts me down all the time? Well, you know what? It is hard and it's challenging, but you can do two things. You can make sure that you have enough friends that build you up, that it helps to override those negative things. And as soon as somebody says something negative to you, if you can't get them not to say it, you go in another room by yourself and you say what God says about you out loud. Let's just say you're a woman, you're married to a man, and he tells you 5 times a week you're stupid. Well, you need to go tell yourself 25 times a week that you have the mind of Christ. I like this. This is good today. Because what you say is going to mean more to you than what somebody else says. The thing we do is we just stand around and let everybody else determine our worth and value, and we don't have to do that. Get into agreement with God and you will see amazing things happen in your life. If I do not have one day of my life that goes by that I don't confess the word of God out loud. Every day of my life, I mean every day, I still say, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become brand new. You know why I say that? Because I had such a hard time with guilt and condemnation, and I felt so bad about myself for so many years because of the abuse that my father had perpetrated on me, and I just felt no good. And I tell you what, it was a battle for me to fight my way through to ever believing that I had right standing with God through Christ. And once I got it, I was determined I was never going to lose it. And I continually renew my mind by saying, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. God loves me. I'm his child. I'm accepted. He's pleased with me. Yes, I said God is pleased with you, and there's nothing wrong with you saying that. He may not be pleased with everything you do, but he is pleased with you. Well, we need more time than I've got, don't we? You know, 2 times the Bible records that a voice came out from heaven regarding Jesus and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, Jesus didn't say, oh, no. 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 You You know, God's not pleased with you because you've got perfect behavior, but I'll tell you, he's pleased you're here today. Not too many people take a Saturday after they've worked all week and go sit and listen to the Word of God. And a lot of you will be back in church again tomorrow, and you were here last night. And God's pleased with you. You may not do everything right, but you know what? You want to do everything right, or you wouldn't even be here. You say, well, wouldn't it be like a wrong kind of pride for me to stand in a room and say, and I'm not suggesting you go say this to somebody else, but wouldn't it be wrong for me just to say, God is pleased with me? No, I don't think so. You know why? Because that's what his word says. Thank you. I have a man in agreement, and that's even better. Don't say things like, I'm stupid, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm dumb. I can't do anything right. Don't do that kind of stuff. Don't say negative things about yourself out of your own mouth. Say about you what God says about you, and it won't be long, and you'll see those things. It'll renew your mind. It changes your whole attitude toward yourself, and you'll be amazed if you just start saying, I am a person of discipline and self-control. You'll be amazed at how just little by little things will begin to change, because really, once your mind is renewed, honey, it's all over but the shouting. Because once you believe you can do what God says you can do, then you will start doing it. Proverbs 18:20. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequences of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. Go on, everybody say, I eat my words. Here's another one, Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer or a talebearer, that's like a gossiper, are as dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. And you know what's interesting that I've found? If somebody comes to me, and I don't know why it is that we love gossip, but I mean, the minute somebody says, have you heard? I mean, it's like, everything just comes alive. Ooh, I'm about to find something out. And you can already kind of tell it's not going to be something nice. And there's a part of you that thinks I should just say no and I don't want to hear. But oh no, it's like, no, what? You know what I've discovered? Somebody can tell me something unkind about somebody that I love and admire. And even if I don't want to believe it, once it gets down in me, it can cause me to be suspicious or look at that person in a different light, from that time on. Words go down. We need to be very careful about the things we say to people about other people, because we are poisoning their spirit when we do that. Have you heard? No, and I don't want to. So many great scriptures about the mouth. I love this one. James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious, piously observant of the external duties of his faith, and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless, futile, and barren. Well, you know what? And please don't take this wrong. When I say a religious person, I'm talking about somebody who maybe goes to church, they have a bumper sticker, they've got a huge Christian library, a big necklace with a cross on it, and they follow all the rules and regulations, but they have no real intimate personal relationship with God. You know, Jesus didn't die so we could all have a religion. He died so we could have an intimate relationship with God through him. Jesus Jesus didn't die for us so we could just go to church and go home and never change. It's not about putting in 45 minutes with God on Sunday morning. He wants to do life with you. He wants to be involved in everything that you do. It's about intimacy. And when you start really hanging out with Jesus on a regular basis, that's when you begin to become more and more like him. So he said, if you think you're religious, but you don't bridle your tongue, then you're deceiving yourself. And you know, this sounds awful, but I can remember some of my years as a religious person. And we had our group of friends, you know, we was a social club at church, and we would go to church on Sunday morning. Wouldn't dare miss church on Sunday morning. And we'd go out to lunch with a bunch of our friends after church. And you know what entertainment was? Gossiping about everybody else, including the pastor and his sermon. And don't tell me you don't do it. If you're not careful, some of you will have something to say about me after you leave today. So, but it'll all be good, right? It'll all be good. All good. All right. Come on, have you ever gone to church and then left church and gossiped to some other Christian about somebody you saw in church? Come on, don't you lie. Yeah, and I did too. Well, that grieves the Holy Spirit when we do that. That's not what he wants us to do. So we've got to be sure that we understand that we can't just worship him with our mouth while our hearts are far from him. We learn so much about ourselves by what comes out of our mouth. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Paul told the Corinthian Christians that he knew they were carnal, and he could tell by the way they talked. However, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. I had to talk to you like mere infants in the new life in Christ. And look what the Amplified says in parentheses here, unable to talk yet. Well, what in the world? I mean, these are grown men. Certainly they can talk. What? I mean, what did Paul mean? You're unable to talk yet. You know what he meant? You don't know how to talk right. You're saying a bunch of stuff that lets me know that you're carnal, immature Christians. Verse 3 says, for as long as you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, as long as you're under the control of ordinary impulses, as long as there is envy and jealousy and strife, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourself like mere unchanged men? I remember when the Lord spoke to me many, many, many years ago, and he said, okay, you're saved. Now it's time for your mouth to get saved. How many of you could use a little salvation in your mouth? All right. I knew that this would be for you today. I picked the right place to preach this message. This will help you. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But now that I've become a man, I'm done with childish ways, and I put them aside. How do children talk? Well, two things I'll mention. Number one, they almost always talk about themselves, what they want, what they like, what they need. And number two, they talk way too much. Yeah, amen. There's that guy again. I like him. All right, now, just in case you maybe are wondering if I'm right about this confessing the word out loud thing, I want to take the last little bit of time that I have here, and I want to talk to you about making a complete turnaround today. And instead of continuing to talk about things in your life as if they're always going to be the way they are right now, don't ever say, this is never going to change. You're never going to change. I'm never going to have any money. I'll never own a new car. Don't say that kind of stuff. Say what God says. If you think that what I'm saying is, you're just not sure that it's scriptural, I want us to look at Ezekiel 37, the first 10 verses. You can argue with me, but you can't argue with the word, not if you're smart. Ezekiel the prophet, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. Maybe there's somebody here today, and you feel like your life at this point is nothing but a bunch of dead, dry bones. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know. You're the only one that knows." And then again, verse 4, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Come on. "Oh, you dead, dry bones, you miserable, wretched life, you empty bank account. Hear the word of the Lord." You gotta love it. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live." In other words, you can look at any circumstance in your life and you can say, you will change. You will change because God is greater than you are. And his word is greater than you are. "And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you, dry bones, shall live. And you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. "And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath or spirit in them." So he didn't just quit and say, "Oh, well, it almost worked. Something happened, but still no life." Then God said to him, "Prophesy to the breath and the spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and the spirit, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and the spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great and a mighty host." I started out 42 years ago with a notebook and a Bible. And I wrote down 65 things that God's word says were mine through the blood of Christ. Not one of them was a fact in my life at the time, but it was the truth of God's word. I hope in some way, shape, or form, God is using these words of mine to speak a word to you that is so clear. No matter what the facts are in your life, God's word is greater than those facts. Do you hear me? Nobody has got so many dead, dry bones in their life that things can't change. But you're going to have to get this as a truth in your life, and you keep it up, and you keep it up, and you keep it up, and you keep it up until the devil shuts up. Yeah. Amen? Well, nothing reveals more about our true character than the words that we speak, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's become people who speak life into other people as well as ourselves. Bring your conversation into agreement with God and you will see amazing things happen in your life. Today we're offering you a couple of resources that I really want to encourage you to have. The Power of Words, 4 teachings, and a Power Words book. So you can read, you can listen. You really need to learn the importance of your words. I was in church for many, many years before I ever had anybody teach me that. And this is something that I think it's very important for you to learn, as well as it was important for me, it's important for everybody. So please get these resources today. It's simple, it's practical, but it's powerful. Your words can change your life.
Very few things impact us more than the words we speak. Words can inspire us, or they can wound us. Let Joyce's book, Power Words, and her 4 CD series, The Power of Words, help you transform your life by aligning what you say with God's Word. These powerful resources are available today for your gift of $25 or more.
Our words are containers for power, and they can carry positive power, they can add benefit to all the people around us and add benefit to our life, or they can carry negative power that harm us and hurt us.
To order, call us toll free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Pack your bags. We're taking the Love Life Women's Conference to Tampa, Florida, and you're invited.
You're here with me, and it's gonna be a good day.
Worship with Natalie Grant.
It's gonna be a good day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Elevation Worship.
You're unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Featuring Joyce Meyer and her guests, Priscilla Shire, Lisa Harper, Sarah Jakes Roberts, and Dave Meyer. Early bird pricing ends May 31st, so register today. Come on, you know this is going to be an amazing weekend. Space is limited. This one will sell out fast. Register today.
So the Bible is God's manual to help us navigate life. But life often gets in the way of knowing the Bible, finding the time, knowing where to begin, and discovering what this all means to you. We understand, and we'd like to help. At joycemeyer.org/study, you'll find free resources to help you get more out of the Bible, whether you're a new Christian or have been walking with Christ for years. So jump in today. The Word. It's free, it's mobile, and it's tailored for you at joycemeyer.org.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request, see the conference schedule, or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.